last Sunday in the Revelation series, if you've been hanging along, there we go. And it's been a journey. So let's say these things together this morning. Some declarations about ourselves before we begin, if you would. Let's say, we ready? We are the assembly of Jesus, built of a diverse group of people to continue the work of Jesus in our neighborhoods, community, and the world. Don't forget that part, right? To continue the work of Jesus. We get to do that this afternoon, singing some carols. Our heart is to worship God with our lives, to assemble as a family and community of Jesus followers, and to share the good news as we go. Okay, our key text this morning is from Revelation 22, our last chapter. And let's read it together this morning, all right? You ready? 3, 2, 1. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to reward each one as his work deserves. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. All right, let's pray this aloud together. Give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Yes, Lord. I receive it as a beloved child of God with ears to hear and eyes to see what my Father will show me. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ that you've given us in your holy word. We've read every word together, Lord, over the months. And Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you for revealing yourself, because when you reveal yourself, it reveals who you meant us to be. And so God, speak that to our hearts, to our spirits this morning. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Thank you. So the message of Revelation we've been talking about, in summary, in my view, is really just hallelujah, Jesus reigns. That's where it lands. And that's the message. So this is a big journey that we've been going through. If you've been around, there's a lot of symbolism and a lot of vision that we're taken into. But the message at the end of the day is hallelujah, Jesus reigns. And can we just say that together as a church this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus reigns. This has been a 6-month journey. I don't know if anybody's been counting. A 6-month journey that we've been on. We started back in May of this year. And from what I've been hearing, just this has been a timely and significant venture. Praise God for that. He's always on time. But this is what it comes down to. This is the message of Revelation. We arrived at this two-word summary as we neared the end of chapter 22 a couple weeks ago. John is falling to his knees in worship, to worship this angel who is showing him what is to come. And the angel looks at him and tells him, don't worship me. I'm a fellow servant just like you, right? And then he says two words, which become, for me, the two-word summary of the whole Revelation. The angel says to John, I'm just going to read it, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Yeah. Worship God, exclamation point. And so these two words for me became a summary of everything that is at the end of the age. And so because there's going to be a parting of two ways, right? The world is going to worship the beast and take the mark of the beast, and the faithful are going to endure, and they're going to worship the living God. And even at great cost, they're going to worship God. So I went to the Jesus Bible. I don't know, does anybody else have a Jesus Bible? If you don't know, the Jesus Bible is a resource that highlights the one story from all 66 books of Scripture, one story all about one name. And that's why it's called the Jesus Bible. And it's all there. And this the way they package it is it just highlights his name and his story as it comes up in Scripture. So the idea is to help us see Jesus on every page of the Bible. And he is. He's there. And so every book of the Bible has a header in this Scripture. In this translation. And so the idea is to help us see Jesus on every page. Now, I just want to see, I went to this, I did, this was after I did my message a couple weeks ago, where I came to that conclusion. And look at what it says. I wanted to show you the summary for the book of Revelation. You see that? It says, Jesus, our worship forever. I love it. So I should have just went to this right away, and I could have got my summary. I should have looked at it. But what is the byproduct of this revelation? It's confident, godly Jesus followers who are faithful to the end. So the book, the revelation, is hallelujah, Jesus reigns. Hallelujah, he reigns. Two-word summary of the last chapter, worship God with everything that you've got. Worship God the Almighty, because he is, and he's the one that is to come, right? And so we talk in the very beginning of this series, if you were around back in May, about 10 years ago, when I was with Tiffany Marez in Honduras with Via Love and her ministry. We've partnered with her several times. Leon has gone down there. I've gone down there. And I was there with a small group of young adults. One of my favorite mission trips I've ever taken. So beautiful. Just a beautiful, beautiful time. And it was a discipleship program that I was helping to lead. And I love those kids. They're you just become really close when you're on that journey together of discipleship. And one night, as a group, we just got to witness Tiffany. It was a part of a large, well-known Christian band down there that was spicy. And they blocked off the whole block. I mean, I don't know, like 4-block radius. They blocked off, and we just started setting up in the middle of the street at this juncture. And it was like Hills Alive in the middle of the intersection. And I mean, incredible sound system. You know, they had everything. They had brass section. Oh. They had a little mini choir, and there were that Latin spice, you know, and so they were doing this thing. I didn't want to miss the moment. There was lines of people just kind of dancing in the street, and I was one of them at one point. And you just couldn't help it. The atmosphere was so electric, so I grabbed my phone and I hit record because I wanted everybody back home to get a view. I wanted them to see it. I wanted to capture it. And so we come back to the book of Revelation, and that's what John is doing for us. He's holding up the phone so we can see the wild energy, the angels, the elders bowing down, the worship that's happening around the throne, and he holds up the phone for us. I mean, you know, I'm thinking, shut down the block and let's worship some more, right? I wanted people to see that, and I had tears rolling down my face. It was just such a beautiful, expressive time of worship. You ever just worship like, you know, nobody's watching? Yeah. And so I wanted my friends, and so John's doing that for us. He held up his phone on behalf of heaven and became a messenger to you and to me of the end of the age. And so we're asking today, now that we've read every word of the book of Revelation together, we've gone through, what manner of people should we be? That's what Peter is asking when he's talking about the end of age. I'm gonna pull this up in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, talking about the end of the age, what sort of people ought you to be? Because you see now how it's all playing out. You've read the end of the book, right? You've read the story. Rewind now and ask the question, what kind of person should I be knowing everything that I know now? And it says, you ought to live, he answers the question, in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. In other words, as we lean towards that day, somehow in the economy of God, and I can't explain it all, we're speeding the coming of that day to us, because of which the heaven will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promises, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So we're not going to the ethereal by and by, you know, we're going to a new earth, which God intended for earth to be in the first place, right? A highly upgraded version of what we're experiencing right now, and a new heaven with God. But the question that's asked in the middle of all of that is, what kind of people ought you to be? And I'd like to answer that with just four thoughts, just kind of as we wrap up this journey through Revelation today. What kind of people ought we to be? So number one, we ought to be confident people. Amen. Some of us just need to just read that again. We need to be confident people. Now, there are a million reasons for a lot of us to think about that, you know, not to be confident right now. Still, I'm telling you, you having seen the revelation unfold at us, having seen the phone held up on behalf of heaven through the Apostle John, we ought to be the most confident people on the planet. You know, why should we be confident, Sean? Well, everything's falling apart around us. I can almost hear somebody saying it, right? Why should we be confident? The world is on fire. Maybe that's how you feel, but perhaps everything is falling apart around us, but our guide to the end of the age is this revelation that's in my pocket. And so this is a tour guide. This is the little handbook that we get to put in our pocket, if you will. It's a pocket guide to how things are gonna unfold. And so in this unfolding, as all of this is happening all around me, I have a guide. And the guide is that I have a reigning Jesus. And so while working for the national Foursquare team in the what we call the historic Gateway District of Foursquare, I traveled a lot. I traveled pretty extensively. Every month I was going to different places and it just worked with the schedule at the time. And for the first time in my life, I found myself with the opportunity to visit many of the metro cities, which was so fun. Oh, and over the years, I visited most of our nation's large cities. And because I served on a team of Next Gen reps from all over the country, I had friends at most of these places that we visited, and they served as my local guides at each stop. And yet, do you know when you have a guide to show you all the good spots, you experience a place a little bit differently? Like you experience so much more of the city than you otherwise would have, right? And so I wasn't expecting it. For instance, when we were in Seattle and we were visiting theirs, it ended up being one of my favorite cities. I had such a blast visiting all the amazing markets and coffee spots and parks and crazy museums and an amazing pie place. And somebody showed me, you know, that one ice cream place that you have to go to since you're in town. And, you know, there's more than just the Space Needle and the Pike's Place, you know, market, which is amazing. You know, there's that one clam chowder spot you got to go to. It's not all just food stuff. I know I'm talking about food. but I'm telling you, I have a guide through the end of the age. That's what I have. And my God is reigning Jesus. He knows all the good spots, right? And I think this might have been just the biggest eye-opener of this collection for me, is that my guide isn't the Jesus in Galilee. He's still the same, the Son of God and the Son of Man, but he's not the guy, you know, in the robe, in the sandals, walking around with people heckling him. You know, no more heckling. No more questions. No more, we got him pinned in a corner now. That Jesus was. The Jesus that is right now is reigning on the throne of thrones. And he's on the throne of the universe, and he's riding on a white horse. And when you and I are praying to him and walking with him, it's not, put your hand in the hand of the man. Anybody remember that song? I love that song growing up. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. You know, so it's more like, you know, if you can imagine this, put your hand in the hand of the rider of the white horse. Who's sitting exalted over everything. That's a little bit different song, right? He came riding on a donkey to the cross, but he's coming riding on a white stallion when he comes to set everything right. And that's who's guiding you through the end of the age. He is more majestic and more glorious and more magnificent than we could ever even imagine. And he's told us how it ends. I love that we've been singing this song all year long. He who is to come. You remember that song? And one of the lines in that song says, we all know how it ends. We all, and we can sing that confidently. We all know how it ends. God was gracious to show us how it ends. And we know how it ends, so our confidence should be on the rise. And it should inform the way that we communicate about everything. Yes, it looks like a mess, but you know what? God is sovereign. And I believe that he's reigning even in the mess and over the mess and through the mess. And he will use the mess because there is no mess where he reigns right now. There's just the plans and the purposes of God. That should raise our confidence. We all know how it ends. And that said, I haven't revealed my chart yet. You know, I've heard that every time you do a series on the book of Revelation, you know, you have to have a chart. This is the end down here, and this is the beginning down here, and you know, we'd need a chart. So I thought it would be fitting to include my chart in the pocket guide to the last days message, only if you care to see it. Okay. You don't have to agree with it, but here's my chart. That's it. You're like, don't do that. Please don't do that to us. Please don't take the high road. Please don't make it about the main thing. Please give us the chart. We want the chart. This is my chart. Jesus, the reigning Jesus, he is the end. How does it all happen in order? There are various opinions on some of the details, but some things are very, very clear. In the Orthodox Christian faith, Orthodox, it's not a big scary word that you should be afraid of. It just means this is what most people have believed for the longest time in the Christian faith. And here are the things, I put them on your notes, that the church has kind of rallied around and agreed on. There's things that we know we're all over the place with, but these are the kind of the big things, that Jesus will bodily return to earth as conquering king, that Jesus will cast out Satan forever, that Jesus will right all wrongs and is making all things new, that God will judge the living and the dead, that the believers will live with God forever in the new heaven and the new earth, and lastly, that the unrighteous will be eternally separated. So those are the orthodox pillars of Revelation. Whether you have a rapture here or a rapture there, or whether you have this millennial view or you know, this or that view, there's a difference of opinion all over Christianity and in Christendom, but the orthodox Christian faith agrees on these tenets. Jesus is gonna return bodily to earth as a conquering king. And that's the Jesus that is leading us right now through the end of the age. He is the reigning king. And so I'm praying with this revelation in my pocket that I've got with me, that my confidence will rise and it will keep on rising. And it's gonna be followed you know, by my testimony, that the way that I talk about the things that are happening in life and the way the things that are happening around me, God is sovereign over it all. He's sovereign and he's bringing everything to his conclusion at his appointed time. And he's leading me every step of the way. Is he leading you? Is he leading you? Is that Jesus leading you? Is it the one, you know, who's on earth, who's just a little bit taller and, you know, maybe than you are? Or is it the reigning king? Conquering Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Second thing that ought to be true of us, not only should we be confident, but we should be heavenly. Here's what I mean by that. By heavenly, I mean different. By different, I mean distinct. By distinct, I mean not worldly. And by not worldly, to grab a King James word if I can, I mean peculiar. Not peculiar as in weird, but peculiar as in wired to something very different than what this world is wired to. Peculiar. We should be heavenly. It's not that we should have this mentality that this is my life now, but at some point, you know, I'm gonna be there in the holy city. Instead, this view I believe that God wants us to have is it's the now and the there. It's both. In other words, I am very much here, but heaven is here. And so I believe that God wants us to have that it's now and both of them. It's now and there. It's here and there. And that's a shift. I think the average believer thinks that, you know, right now I'm living my life and at some point, you know, I'll step into eternity, right? And God is saying, if you're joined together with Jesus, eternity is part of your life right now. Yeah. It's part of your life right now. Heaven is a part of your life right now. And you are already in the resurrection story. And you are already in the victory story. And you're already in the apocalypse, in the revelation of Jesus. You're already in that story, even while you're living here. This is what we read. I'll show it to you in scripture, Philippians chapter 3. It says, brothers and sisters, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now I tell you, even as I weep, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So that's very much the, you know, the apocalypse language right there. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who have their minds on earthly things. For our, hello, can you say it with me? For our citizenship. Amen. Our citizenship, in other words, you know, I have a US passport, so I can go places, but I also have another passport. I have a passport to the holy city. I am already have citizenship in the holy city. I already have standing in the future city of God. I'm already a citizen there. It says our citizenship is in where? Heaven. From which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the one who went to his father's house and he prepared a room so that when he returned for the bride, we would be ready. That we would be watching and we would go with him now to the room that he's prepared in his father's house for us, for which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our lowly condition. That's why I'm confident he will transform our lowly bodies. Man, you think this body is cool? He's gonna transform us into conformity with his glorious body. Woo! This is the most remarkable story of all, but what does it hinge on? At the heart of it is our citizenship is in heaven. Therefore, my pocket guide to the last days, I know this is a big pocket guide, the pocket guide to the last days, the revelation that's in my pocket should remind me multiple times throughout the hour, be heavenly, think heavenly. Do what would be heavenly. And by heavenly, I mean different. But I mean distinct. I mean not worldly. I mean be peculiar, if you will. Not weird. We've got enough weird Christians. But we definitely need some distinct followers of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Who look different, who are different, who talk different and think different from the people whose God is their stomach and whose glory is their shame and whose destiny is destruction. We need some people who will show the world what the holy city looks like because we already have seen it. He held the phone up for us. We our citizenship is there. You got a glimpse. Paul says in Ephesians 2, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings. That's why you'll hear us say around destiny, went from death to life. So God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Jesus so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus. So Jesus, in the revelation, we see the throne. We see him on the throne of thrones and the one who's seated on it, right? And Paul is saying, when you went from death to life by putting your faith in Jesus, he raised you up right there and then, spiritually, and you are seated with him. Where? In the heavenly places, with Jesus. And so spiritually, where he is, you are, and what he has, you have. And so when he says, all authority have been given to me in heaven on earth, and now I'm sending you, he's saying, I'm sending you with all the authority that's been given to me. And if there's any one thing that should happen to you and me reading something as profound as this, we ought to start taking authority over our lives, over our minds, over our thoughts, over our bodies, over our families, over our neighborhood, over our city, this community, over the nation. We ought to be carriers of the position where we now sit with Jesus in heaven. We live so far lower than our standing in Jesus. We think so far lower than our standing in Jesus, but we are already partakers of the apocalypse and the revelation story and the reigning, conquering king that's unfolding even in this moment. Do we have any old school graphics design people in the house, you know, who grew up using tracing paper? Anybody remember tracing paper? School teachers, where you'd put the paper over the other paper. And the cool thing about it is, you know, as you were learning to draw, you could put it over the other thing that you're copying, and you could see through what it was on the sheet, and you could use that original, that typeface or copy or that image or graphic, and you bring it over to your new page. And I think God wants to make sure that you have your life over the revelation story. So much so that you can trace onto this life the truths of the one that is to come. And that you can see through the now into the there, and you can see the both the now and the there are together in your story. We should be heavenly people and show the world what the holy city is like. Number three, with our pocket guide to the last days, we should be discerning. If there's one word I believe could change our lives this year, it's praying consistently for discernment. Amen. Do you know what discernment is? It's discernment is the ability to look at the counterfeit and identify the authentic. It's the ability to look through the haze and to see what's real. And in our world right now, the counterfeit is getting louder and louder, bolder and brighter. And if there's one thing I long for my life, and if there's one thing I long for our church, is that we would be people who could see behind the curtain. That we'd be the people who understand that it's the Wizard of Oz pushing buttons behind the curtain, right? We become way too familiar with this taking on board whatever is offered to us. And now we're living in this world where you start watching an interview after a football game, and you're hearing the coach at the podium, you're like, man, I can't believe he just said that. And you find out, oh, that was AI generated, right? It wasn't even real. He didn't even say any of that, but it was engaging and even funny, and it generated a few clicks for the one who posted it, so they did it. And so how do you know if it's a real person or a computer generated one? That's our future. And it's kind of like you can't tell, like, at all, that these pictures are AI generated of me. I mean, you can't hardly tell at all. That could have been taken yesterday. It's uncanny, the resemblance. You know, these two could have been taken at Friday night at the staff Christmas party. I mean, you wouldn't even know. And then this next one, I mean, this is, you know, last year when I was on the cruise with Pastor Sandy and John. I mean, who would know? And one last one. I mean, I could make this one my profile picture and nobody would know the better. You know, is that really Sean? Or did AI teleport a copy of me into the moment and manipulate it to look like whatever I want? I could do videos. Yeah. And so that's our future. It doesn't even matter whether you like it or not. That's our reality, right? That's our current reality. And so how are you going to know? How are you going to be able to tell what's real? A, being connected to Jesus is a necessity. He's the vine. We're the branches. And B, it's being saturated in his word and praying for discernment. You got to know scripture. You got to know his word and praying, believing for it. This is Paul's prayer. Look at this. This would be a good one for us to memorize. Philippians 1. And this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Paul's praying for these believers so that you may discover the things that are excellent. Not the biggest or brightest and the most bold, but what's excellent. Some translations say best. What's the best way to go here? That you may be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ. There it is. Having been filled by the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. I'm praying for you that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment so that you may discover the things that are excellent. You will not go wrong this year by praying every single day, asking God for the gift of discernment and to be strengthened in your life. So that when you're sitting at a meeting at work and, you know, the conversation is happening and you know, you don't need to have a red flag in your pocket and go, "Help, nope, don't believe that." But in your mind, you're like, "Yeah, I don't think so. I just feel like I got a little glimpse. I have an insight. I can discern. And I'm not going to make a quick judgment. I'm not going to send a hot email, but I'm going to keep my eye on that. I'm going to do my own fact checking, you know, and I'll tell you why this is important. This is why it's important. Because as you're reading the book of Revelation, we read it all together. We went through every chapter. What did we see? We saw counterfeits. Remember that? We saw counterfeit getting as close as possible to the real thing. We ended last week talking about the bright morning star. Remember that? The bright morning star, the last of the title names of Jesus. And there were many of them throughout the book of Revelation. And we flash back to Isaiah, where in the Old Testament, where you see morning star, lowercase morning star, not Revelation, uppercase, bright morning star. Why? Because Lucifer's very name means light of heaven or the bright one of heaven. That's what his name means. Lucifer was a bright angel of immense power before he fell. He was a massively important angel before he ultimately refused to glorify God. And his name means the bright one of heaven or the light of heaven or the brightness of heaven. Not uppercase, not forever, but he was known as the bright one of heaven. And Paul talks about how this is happening, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. He says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." Got to look out for those people. In other words, these false prophets and apostles and deceitful workers aren't going to come and go, "Hey, I want to let you know, we're charlatans." He says, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." So who was coming against Jesus at the end in the big battle? Remember? It was Gog. Remember that? And Magog. And I just thinking about this. Gog, it's just almost, we have the next slide. It's almost G-O-D, right? It's just almost. Almost God, so close. And what we're going to need more than ever in our pocket at the end of the age is discernment. 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 So many times we saw the phrase, look, look, behold. I looked and I saw, right? I'm telling you that the same God, he's not bringing a different word. He's not adding to the word. We read that in the last paragraph. He's not taking away from the word, but he is continuing to give insight into the word to everyone who is awake and who is looking. He's perpetually showing the way and the truth and the life, right? The true light. And then lastly, number four, we should be generous with our pocket guide to the last days. That means I already know my address is on the street of gold. Hello? 1177 Street of Gold. That's my address. And so that's where I'm going. I'm not a poor beggar passing through earth. I've got an address on a street of gold. And I've got gold in my pocket. I want to live generously because of what I've read in the revelation, because of what was revealed to me. And I especially want to be generous with the good news of the mercy and the grace of Jesus. I don't want one person who spends time around me not to know about the mercy and the grace of Jesus, because I've got gold in my pocket. What do you mean? What are you talking about, gold in your pocket? I've got the word of God in my pocket, and it does not return void, and it accomplishes its specific mission and task every time that is shared, and I've got it in my pocket. I've got the name of Jesus and prayer in my pocket. I have a word of encouragement in my pocket. I have the gospel, the good news of Jesus in my pocket, and I've got life-changing, destiny-shaping truth in my pocket. And so Jesus said in chapter 1, remember this? He said, I am the living one. I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And he said, I hold what? What was he holding? He was holding some keys. You remember that? I hold the keys to death and Hades. So my God got some keys to death and Hades. And that means, guess what? I got the keys to death and Hades. And so I'm not the key. Jesus is the key. And Jesus conquered death and is holding the keys, but he's happy to share with me the keys to death and Hades. And so he's going to say, anybody that you know that's bound by death and Hades, just show them the key, which is me. Show them me. I have the keys. Does anybody know the story of the giving keys? Anybody wearing a giving key? Anybody? Nobody's heard of the giving keys. Okay. I love the idea. Long backstory. I'm not going to share the whole story. But what the result is, was a key with a word of hope on it. So belief, faith, vision, love, peace, joy, confidence. And you would give the key, a literal key, that a chain you'd put around the friend's neck and give it to a friend because you knew that they needed belief. And maybe they needed faith. Maybe they needed hope. And so that would be your gift to them, a giving key with the word of truth for their life and their story. And I'm telling you, I've got keys in my pocket. It's the gold is these keys in my pocket. And so I've got so many keys in my pocket, and they all unlock death and Hades. And so like I may have a key right this minute for you that when I have an opportunity, I'm like, wow, this key fits right into your story. They all have the same word on them. Name is Jesus. So every single key that fits into every unique story frees that person because of the same name of Jesus. And I've got all kinds of keys in my pocket to unlock prison doors and to see people set free. It's not anything to do with me. It's the name of Jesus, the name that's above every other name. And he's given me keys and he's put them in my pocket. And we've got to be generous. You know, during election season, how people put signs in their yard, I respect that. It can be pretty bold at times, right? Especially in our political climate. but I respect someone who places a sign in the yard. It's your right, right? It's your yard. It's important. And some of you already know where I'm going. It would be pretty great if somehow in the next chapter towards the end of the age, we could all just like put a sign in our yard. You know, this house, we've got keys. You need keys? Do you need freedom? Come knock on my door. Do you need hope? We're not perfect, but come and knock on our door. How great would it be if we could somehow take this up as a job, but somehow on Easter morning, if every believer in the Revelation had a sign in their yard that just said, I believe. And people would be, you know, looking around wondering, what are we believing in? We have gold in our pockets. And we're just walking on into the end of the age with gold in our pockets. And can I just say it? It does no good for us to be at the gate of the holy city taking out all the keys that are in your pocket that were meant for people in your story. Because there's no need for any of those keys in the holy city, right? If the enemy can make us stingy with the good news that sets people free from the wrath of God, then he wins. I heard a pastor share a story recently about a group of guys. They're having a meeting at a coffee shop where he was studying. And he wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but they were right there. And the guy that was leading the meeting was facing him. And he was talking loud enough that he could hear every word. And so eventually this guy said to the guys, I think it's just amazing that we're meeting today. And this was towards the end of October. And so the guy was wondering if he was talking about Halloween, but he wasn't referring to that holiday. He said, I'm so excited. Today is a significant day in my faith. And that's when the pastor's ears kind of perked up to the story. And he kind of leaned into, I guess he was eavesdropping. And so one of the other guys said to him, you know, what holiday? And the guy said, well, Diwali. What is that? The other guy, you know, asks. And so he's leaning in, he's interested. And what's that? It's the Festival of Lights. It's one of the most fortuitous days of the year. You know, it's a celebration of goodness and abundance. And he starts naming all the things that are kind of wrapped up in this holiday. And he said, the people of my faith celebrate this as an important day. And I think it's amazing that we're meeting on such a fortuitous day. And so by this point, the pastor, he's listening and taking notes on what he was saying. He was getting ready to share a message on evangelism. And so this guy, he says, it's amazing that we're meeting on such a fortuitous day. And I take it as a harbinger of good things to come for us in the future. Because the pastor's like writing down the words he's saying. And he said to himself, well, that's how you share your faith. That's how you share your faith. If you're thinking, well, I don't know how to share my faith. I'm just not good at it. Well, hang around that guy. Right? The guy he was talking to said, well, how do you spell that again? I think I'm going to look that up. You know, I'm going to check that out. I've had, personally, just a lot of opportunity as a corporate chaplain this year. God opened that door, I believe, and I've been doing my rounds in a corporate workplace setting, walking around and asking questions, simple questions, you know. The holidays, how was your Thanksgiving? Tell me about your week. What are you cooking? What's it look like? And then I ask stories about their family because as I've been getting to know them this year, I'm getting to know their stories and I'm beginning to know the names of their spouse and their kids. And so I just ask questions. And every week I have the opportunity, I get to write a short communication to all the employees that it's just a couple paragraphs that offer hope. And encouragement, right? I've got keys in my pocket. And I always end with, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. This little phrase that I use at the end of the huddles in the warehouse, I just say, that's your chaplain shout out. Take care of yourselves. So I've sat with people that have been walking through loss in the holidays. I've carried a wife's burden of her husband's secret addiction to alcohol. I sat with a young mother trying to decide what she wants to do with the surprise unwanted pregnancy. I was there as one of the team leads told me how he discovered his roommate unconscious from a pill overdose. this week. Her body was under the bed. She had carried suicidal ideations for years, and how do you think that made him feel, right? He yanked her out, called 911, and imagine this, he had to get help from her 21-year-old son to get her out. And he had to witness his own mother trying to take her own life. I was listening to him share, hard to hold back the tears because I saw all that he was carrying. And I've been getting to know this person for about a half a year now, and I asked him a question that I often ask. Sometimes I say it this way, I say, can I ask a chaplain question? Sometimes I say it this way, can I ask a spiritual question? That's my simple way of getting permission to talk about some deeper things, right? Once I get that yes, I start getting my keys out. There were two different times I got to pray with people this week. One was with this person, and after walking through all of the wouldas and couldas and shoulda questions that comes with that and all the feelings of guilt and trauma, I just asked if I could pray with him. You know what his response was? He said, always. I started praying about a God who gives us living hope. That's one of the keys. He carries us when we're weak. That's another one of the keys. He comes as a Prince of Peace. That's one of the keys. He's giving us peace that doesn't make sense. And I cheated a little bit. I opened up my eyes while we were praying. And I could see him, and he was staring at the ground. And after every key that I was kind of lunging out there, he's the living hope. He's the Prince of Peace. I could just see him going like this. It was almost as if you could see just the little glimmers of light. Little keys opening up doors. Little letting in the light. I mean, that's kind of what it felt like. And guess what? I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep on bringing my keys. And then I got to pray with another friend. And I am far from a professional intercessor. But the comment that he made after we were done praying stuck with me this week. He said, you pray beautiful prayers. And every time you pray with me, it feels like a little bit of heaven comes into my world. Thank you. So I'll tell you what, that's what I want to do with my life. That's how I want to live my life. And so, anyway, back to the story of the pastor in the coffee shop. We're looking at the end of the age, and we've got Revelation in our pockets. We're carrying gold. And as I heard this story that the pastor was sharing about this encounter in the coffee shop and this gentleman of a different faith sharing about, you know, this tradition, this holiday, I thought to myself, this Diwali guy's ending of the age could not be more drastically different from the one that's in my pocket. He sounds like a super nice guy and very winsome in his testimony, right? Very convincing in his positivity, but with a completely different ending in his faith. And he represents not a little small home group, he represents hundreds of millions of people. And hearing that story, he seems more comfortable and confident lobbying his joy than I think many believers are in sharing ours. And we've got Revelation in our pocket. And I pray that God would make us generous. That guy, when he was sharing about the holiday, Dwali, he wasn't factoring in, you know, I don't want to hear about your holiday. I don't want to hear about your festival of lights. I'm not open to your spiritual fluff. Now, he just thought, man, this is a great day for us, right? And he wanted to share. And I thought, how can I learn from that little moment right there? And maybe that looks like, you know, walking into a conversation and saying, hey, you know, it's so great that we're hanging out today because I was reading this morning in my Bible and I was reading in Revelation and it just encouraged me. And I thought, man, this speaks to the opportunity that we have today. And I think it's gonna be a good meeting, right? I think it's gonna be a good day. And the men at your table say, well, what's that verse again? Right? And you get out the keys that you have in your pocket. I think many of you know, if you know me, I'm an introvert at heart. I remember, I've told this story many times when Pastor Brett and Tana were hiring me as the youth pastor. They had me do a personality test and I was so far off the charts, melancholy, phlegmatic. They said, are you sure you like people? But the thing is, all of us are called to be disciples. We're all called to share the gold that's in our pocket. And so there's something that's worth the risk for even an introvert to just start a conversation. So how was your Thanksgiving? How'd the turkey turn out? Oh, it turned out you burned the turkey. Well, let's talk about that. You know what? Can I ask a spiritual question? Because I've experienced peace that passes understanding even when the turkey doesn't turn out. You know, I mean, something's, there's a practice of just learning to turn the conversation because we know that we've got gold in our pockets. We've got revelation in our pocket. We've got a story that's been shown to us that is so beautiful and so bold that it put, John just fell down in worship. He didn't even know what to do. And he's like, look at this. Do we believe this revelation of Jesus? Do we believe it? Then what should we do different in our life starting today? Let's pray. Man, what a journey. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I just gotta say it every week. You are so good. You're so good to us. You came as the light of the world. And then you flipped it on us and said, you are the light of the world. You're seated with me in heavenly places. And so you're carriers of that glory. You're carriers of the power of my name. So take that light and shine it all around. You have a key of encouragement. You have a key of the living hope. You have a key of the reigning Jesus. You have a key that unlocks death and Hades. So hear me, church, today when I tell you that you've got gold in your pockets. God, I pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us as we come into this new year. May this revelation of Jesus continue to shape the way that we live, that we would walk confidently, that we would be people of discernment, that we would know who we are because of who you are, and we are seated with you. God, may this revelation in our pocket change the way that we walk out the door, change the conversations that we have, and guide our conversations so that we can pull out the keys that you've given us to unlock death and Hades and the grave. God, thank you for empowering us, for giving us Holy Spirit, for baptizing us with the fire that we could have a boldness that's maybe not inside of some of us, but you've equipped us. You've shaped us. You've given each of us a story. And God, you've given each of us, even our past traumas, our loss, every experience that we've walked through. God, we can take out keys and things that you've taught us and you've shaped us and you've strengthened us, because that's what happens when we go through those valleys of the shadow of the death. You build us back stronger. That's what you do. So God, thank you for shaping our stories. I pray that you would use our story, and may it intersect with your story, and may it intersect again with somebody else's story, so that we can unlock the keys in their lives that you've given us to unlock for them. God, make us confident. Make us bold. Make us followers of your light, carriers of your light and your glory. As we walk in our neighborhood, as we walk these streets, God, may we show your kind of love to this world. May we be shaped differently. We know how we ought to live. God, thank you for your word. Amen. Before we go, I just want to pray and ask and give you the opportunity, if you don't know Jesus or you haven't followed him with your life, or maybe it's a resurrender moment this morning. And I just believe that Holy Spirit is good enough. If that's you this morning, he's already been moving on your heart. You already feel that nudge. Listen, as we come into the new year, this is a time of, for a lot of us, of thinking about, you know, how I'm going to change things around this year. I'm going to do it a new way. I'm going to make all things new, right? He's really the only one that can make all things new. He really is. And when we don't have the strength on our own to maybe even do the things that we want, he's the one that gives us power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a healer. He's the giver of hope. He's the peace, the Prince of Peace that came. He's the light of the world. He's all of those things. And Father God sent his son to die for you so that you could be resurrected and you could have new life and you could be new again. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to give you the opportunity, if that's you this morning, whether for the first time or a resurrender, would you raise your hands? We want to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's pray this together. Father God, in your mighty name I pray. I want to give you all of the glory with all of my life. So I lean into you today, the maker of everything. Make all things new in me. Thank you for giving your life, buried, dead, and resurrected, so that I could be resurrected. I'm going to follow you with my life. In your name, amen.